I'm Robin Hilton. It's the All Songs Considered Plus One podcast from NPR Music. Today, we've got a conversation with two musicians. The first one goes by the name Peaches, and the second is known as U.S. Girls. And if there's one word to describe the kind of music they both make, it is explicit. Over the past 15 years, Peaches has released a half a dozen records filled with profanity and very graphic sexual images. This is the title cut to the latest Peaches album. It's called Rub. And seriously, it's very graphic. So if you have small children in the car or in the room, or if you have a problem with explicit language in music, now would be a good time to stop listening or just skip ahead a minute or so to our conversation.
Rub, tail on my pussy, whistle blow my clit, watch it open up, cause it can't keep a secret. Tail on my pussy, whistle blow my clit, watch it open up, cause it can't keep a secret.
I mean, Peaches makes music that is so explicit, I often find myself giggling nervously while listening to it. But I love the beats and the rhythm of Peaches' voice, and the fact that the songs are so explicit makes them kind of a thrill ride to listen to. Now, U.S. Girls, on the other hand, makes a different kind of explicit music.
Well, there were four of us in a real small space, sharing more than just a family name. So many men wanted to walk that line. Oh, this youngest partnered up.
So this music is more restrained than Peaches' music. There's not a lot of profanity. But the songs of U.S. Girls are just incredibly dark. This one is called Sororal Feelings, and it's all about a woman who kills herself after finding out that the man she is with has slept with all of her sisters. So on this week's Plus One podcast, Meg Remy, who is the sole member of U.S. Girls, talks with Peaches about the hazards, the humor, and the challenges of writing explicit music and performing it live. The first voice you're going to hear is Peaches talking about how her music and her live shows sometimes affect people.
Do you know what? I've had some very strange, weird encounters. I have had somebody removed. You know, I love to be interactive. That's my most important thing. My favorite moments are when there's no stage anymore and I'm sort of like, you know, in the audience and things like that. But I would say 7% of the time somebody tries to do something they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
While I'm in the audience, I'm very good at following a hand to an arm, to a neck, to a face, and take the mic and give it a little smash, or smash their hand because I you know like to take action right there.
Yeah,
don't be afraid of my show, please. This is just don't be non-consensual.
I've survived I know you. I know people can do it.
But I there has been a time where there was somebody he really did, you know, try, and I actually had to fight him off, and then security came and took him away.
Mm. At the show we played the other night in San Francisco, it was after the show, and I was going outside to smoke, and a woman said, "You were great to me," and then she grabbed me and she tried to kiss me.
Did you like that?
No.
No.
Because
was she, was
and
she?
I said, and she kind of then started making fun of me like I was square.
Oh.
And then I said, you know, I was like, I don't even kiss my mother.
And then her
her response was, I don't kiss my mother either. And it was a weird, I thought it was a weird interaction. Because if it had been a guy doing that, I would have punched him in the face.
Right.
But because it was a woman.
Right. You just kind of had a conversation about your mother's.
It was really weird. But made me equally as angry because, I don't know.
Because
anger
seemed,
is not the
seem,
word. Yeah. It was just like, you don't know how someone else is. I just think it's bold to assume.
Yeah.
Even if you feel like you're reading someone so well or you think they want that or... And it seems more, you can almost be more anonymous if you're in a crowd and people's hands are all over and you can maybe do it, but she just straight up came at me. It was interesting.
Do you worry that the audience is somehow distorting the meaning of your songs or the intentions of your songs? Because it sounds like some people, at least, are getting the wrong idea.
I revel in the fact that people have misconceptions about what I'm talking about. I mean, it's incredible to me that I'll say something that I think is so direct and so straightforward, and there'll be a million different opinions or opposite even opinions about what I'm doing, or even certain statements that for one person seem very angry as a statement, and someone else that it's almost comedy. And, I think that that's part of the art of it, too, the perceptions that others place upon it.
Yeah, I think free interpretation is the greatest thing about art and why I like it and why I want to make it and why I also like consuming it. And maybe not knowing too much about the person that makes it or their intentions so that I can use it to my own means, you know, like I can make it whatever I want it to be for myself.
Yeah, no, I love reality as opposed to this fantastical sort of superhero that I can, you know, project on stage. But also, there's also the human under it and, you know, kind of like opening the curtain.
Mm-hmm. Has your audience changed from...
I've noticed them more excited. I feel like at the beginning it was a lot of people staring at me like, what is this? What are you doing? Whoa, I think I like this. I feel funny in my pants, mummy, stuff like that. But I think now they're up for it and they're kind of like, yes, bring it on.
I guess why I'm asking is kind of like a lot of things have gone from the underground to the mainstream now, right? You know, even ideas like... What's the woman?
You mean Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner, right? All of these things. Is your audience gotten more open? Are you having like sorority girls or moms or
I think I always have that. It's weird. I have like, you know, all different kinds of people, to be honest.
Always been that way?
Yeah, it has. So, and they come to my shows to feel that openness. So.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's what they're like in their daily life or, you know, some of them are just breaking out with me or, you know, I don't really know.
So offer a release for people?
I think so.
Is it a release for you on stage still?
Yes, it is, definitely. It's like a shamanistic experience. It's just like working through.
So how do you want an audience to feel when they leave your show? What is it that you want them to take away from your performances?
I want people to dance and enjoy it and then sing along with it and then go, whoa, what did I sing along with?
That's what's crazy about seeing you play when you get people are singing parts of your song and they know the words and you're holding the mic out and they're saying, you know, like...
they're saying things.
Yeah, that they're like, you wouldn't normally scream out alone or with a group of people, and you don't get that much from a woman on stage either. I feel like I've been at shows when I was younger, like rap rock shows, where you'd have like a lot of guys like screaming cuss words or something a group, but not explicit phrases of Peaches anthems.
And for as explicit as some of these songs are or as disturbing as some of the songs are, it does seem like when I listen to the music, like there's actually a little bit of humor in there. It's dark comedy, but there is some humor in there, and maybe that's a way of getting people to let down their guards.
Humor is really important because my goal is to be inclusive, and humor is the best way to bring your point across and still have people warm to the idea instead of, you know, screaming at them or preaching at them.
I don't use humor at all. I think I'm more interested in a clever turn of phrase or something like that, which could maybe be funny because it's
I think it's humor, you have to be clever but for humor, though.
I'm too sensitive for humor or something. I don't use it for some reason. I think I'm funny in my real life. I'm hilarious.
I'm laughing at you right now, Meg.
That's okay.
with you.
Yeah, that's what they say.
If I was to cover one of your songs, Meg, what song would you pick for me?
Probably this song I have called Pamela.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All my other songs are like, you know, a lot of my songs are like about my family or something.
Right,
it'd
right.
be weird for someone else to, you know, there's a guy, Dirty Beaches, who covered a song of mine that.
Dirty Beaches?
Yeah. It's a song that he liked it because he mm-hmm. thought it was very minimal. Mm-hmm. And it actually bothered me that he covered it because it's something that was, it's about my family and something super personal to me. I want people to hear them and everything, but a lot of times they're just for me to do.
You need to do them.
Yeah.
Maybe if I cover that song, I could be Dirty Peaches. And then everybody who covers you has to start with mm-hmm. dirty and rhyme with mm-hmm. beaches or peaches.
How you like me cook? How you like me cook? How you like me cook?
How you like my cook? How you like my cook? What? How you like my cook? How you like my cook?
That's Meg Remy of the band U.S. Girls talking with the artist known as Peaches about some of the challenges both of them face in writing and recording very explicit and profoundly honest music. The latest record from Peaches called Rub is already out, and the new record from U.S. Girls is called Half Free, and it is out November 6th. For NPR Music and All Songs Considered, I'm Robin Hilton.
Sip it like you're sipping bud. Crud, I feel flood, cause she's a stud. Grab a nub and tug.